Senate will be in session. Members and guests, please rise for the invocation by the chaplain of the Senate and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Today, before I pray, two ancient Greek stories. Story number one, the great leader Odysseus had to go through the Narrows. The Narrows was where the sirens lived, and no one could pass by their bewitching song and not be destroyed, so he had them bind him to the mast. And they put wax in their ears so they could not hear the song. They passed safely through. The other leader, story number two, is Jason. Jason knew Orpheus, the sweetest singer in the world. And he had Orpheus go with him through the Narrows. And the siren song was no match for Orpheus's song. So if you pray, would you please pray with me? God, would you be Orpheus to us? Teach us your words and your music. Then we can join the sweet singer King David as he sang, "May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great." I humbly ask in your name, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary will take the roll.
Mr. President, 50 members are present.
Quorum is present. The Senate is ready for business. Senator Howard.
Yes, may I be off and out for the purpose of an introduction?
Senator Howard.
If you look up to our right, I have a lot of my family there, and if you would stand after I introduce you, I'd appreciate it. First is my nephew, Norm Howard, and his wonderful wife, Karen, and their daughter, Martina. And the one that kind of controls the family, Ethan. And then my daughter, oldest daughter, Cameo, and her son, Rowan, and Keldon. And last but never least is my wife, Carla, who tomorrow we have our 48th wedding anniversary. Please.
Welcome to the Senate. Without objection, we'll go to order business. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator O'Brien.
Mr. President, I'd like to be off the record and out of the journal for an introduction, please.
Senator O'Brien.
It is with delight that I today introduce my son, Carter Dumkey, named after the first U.S. representative of the state of Montana, Tom Carter, who's my great uncle. And Carter's on spring break. He's 12 years old, and I'm just delighted to have him here.
Welcome to the Senate. Seeing no further announcements, without objection, we'll go to our business number two, reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, we are Committee on Education and Cultural Resources. Report that House Bills 89 and 192 be concurred in. Senator Daniel Solomon, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Judiciary. Report that House Bill 293 be concurred in. Senator Keith Regier, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Local Government. Report that House Bills 292 and 304 be concurred in. And that House Bill 496 be concurred in as amended. Senator Terry Gauthier, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Natural Resources. Report that House Bill 173 be concurred in. Senator Jeff Wellborn, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on Public Health, Welfare, and Safety. Report that Senate Joint Resolution 14 to pass as amended, and that House Bills 39, 275, and 295 be concurred in. Senator David Howard, Chair. Mr. President, we are Committee on State Administration. Report that House Bills 81, 88, 95, and 97 be concurred in. Senator Doug Carey, Chair. That is all, Mr. President.
Without objection, the committee reports are adopted. Without objection, we'll go to our business number five, messages from the other House.
Mr. President, I'm directed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the following House bills were on this day, read three civil times and passed, title and history agreed to, and their hearings transmitted to the Senate for concurrence. House Bill 302, Kazmaier. House Bill 445, Usher. House Bill 490, Currents. House Bill 593, Seekins, Crow. That the following Senate bills were on this day, read three civil times and title and history agreed to, and returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 62, Senate Bill 69. That the following Senate bills were on this day, read three civil times, concurred in as amended, title and history agreed to, and they heard returned to the Senate for concurrence and House amendments, Senate Bill 38, Gauthier. That the House of Representatives, the following Senate bills was reconsidered and remains on third reading for House vote on the 57th legislative day, Senate Bill 57, Pomnikowski. Sincerely, Carolyn Cheetah, Chief Clerk of the House. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number 6, first reading and commitment of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 376 and House Bills 302, 445, 490, and 593 have been introduced, read for 7, referred to committee. That is all, Mr. President.
Order business number 7, second reading of bills. Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole for the consideration of business on second reading.
For the motion of Senator Smith, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. I appoint Senator Bogner, Chairman of the day.
Members of the Senate, please be in order. Members, you have before Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move to pass consideration on House Bill 252 by Representative Jones, non-refundable tax credit for employee-paid education of trade professions. Pass for the day.
Without objection, so ordered. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 29. The clerk will read the history and title of the bill.
SR 29, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Board of Housing and the Board of Horse Racing made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 14, 2021 to the Senate.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 29. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Resolution Number 29.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These are appointments to the Board of Housing and the Board of Horse Racing. We had a good hearing on the nominations. I think it gets some broad support. And I know Senator Hertz is a fan of this one as well, so I would ask for your support.
Are there any amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion.
Mr. Chair? Senator Boland?
Yes.
Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in, first of all, I'll speak to the bill, but I rise in support of these nominations. I know a couple of them, actually three or four of them on this group of for housing and horse racing, and they bring just a wealth of information, or they will bring a wealth of information if they're new. I really appreciate the senator bringing this forward, and I do recommend it do pass. Thank you.
Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I do have a conflict of interest. The young man on line 12 is my son. I will be voting for the bill.
Senator O'Brien. Senator Boland. Gotcha. All right. The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Resolution 29, recommends the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 49 senators vote aye and one senator votes nay.
49 senators having voted aye and one having voted no. Senate Resolution 29 has been adopted on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Resolution 83. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
SR 83, introduced by Solomon, a resolution of the Senate of the State of Montana, concurring, confirming, and consenting to the appointments to the Board of Public Education made by the Governor and submitted by written communication dated January 14, 2021 to the Senate.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Resolution 83. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the nomination transmitted by the Governor be concurred in and confirmed by the Senate in accordance with Senate Resolution 83.
Senator Solomon.
Mr. Chairman, this is for the Board of Public Education. We had two people come and have a hearing. They did outstanding. The first one was Mary Heller out of Haver. She has 20-plus years of experience in K-12 and post-secondary education, and she's the current state director for Skills USA in Montana. The second candidate was Jane Hammond. She is from Clancy, Montana, and has 20 years of employment here in the Montana Legislative Fiscal Division as an analyst and the Governor's Office of Budget and Program Planning. And she's has a degree from Carroll University in Wisconsin and then a master's from Columbia University. Mr. Chairman.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Solomon, would you care to close? The question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration Senate Resolution 83, it recommends the same be adopted. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 44 senators vote aye and 6 senators vote nay.
44 senators having voted aye and 6 having voted no. Senate Resolution 83 has been adopted on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 76. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 76, introduced by Solomon, a bill for an act entitled an act revising captive insurance laws pertaining to the captive insurance regulatory and supervision account, increasing the percentage of premium tax paid into the captive insurance regulatory and supervision account, providing for fund transfers and amending section.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 76. What is your pleasure, Senator Solomon?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill 76, that it recommend the same do pass.
Senator Solomon.
Members of the body, Mr. Chairman, this is about the captive insurance regulatory and supervision account, and it is from the auditor's office that I bring you this bill, and quite frankly, the captive insurance companies also. They want to pay their own way, let's call it. As it is now, captives started about 20 years ago in Montana. It's becoming a booming industry in Montana. It's a self-insurance situation, and these companies are domiciled in Montana. And with the premium tax, we make about $1.5 million a year off of them. What this does is, as the number of captives have grown, they're not keeping up with their funding source, let's call it. This captive was set up originally with 5% of the premium tax that captives do and the fees. That has not kept up with the regulatory and supervision that the captives need. So they asked to run this bill, and if you look at the fiscal note, really that's what this is all about, is it's just changing the money around. They would like to go from 5 to 20%. That would raise the amount that they 5 to 20% on the captive fund on the premium tax, if you will, just take 15% more of it, that would roughly break even. The problem is the captive fund is swept into the general fund at the end of the year, and that would leave a hole in the general fund of about roughly $230,000, and the next year about $240,000. So we needed to deal with that. What happens is there is a insurance fee fund in the auditor's office, and that's what they made up the difference with. So basically, by taking it out of the premium tax and putting it in to pay for this thing, the general fund's going to hurt. So we want to put the money back into the general fund that the insurance auditor's office is going to keep, that they're not going to have to pay. In other words, it's a little bit of a shell game. We're taking it out of the insurance fee fund. With the amendment that we put on here, goes into the general fund. And that basically means everybody breaks even, Mr. Chairman.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Solomon, do you care to close? Question now arises on the motion of Senator Solomon that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration of Senate Bill 76, it recommends the same do pass. Men in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. Senate Bill 76 has passed on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 213. clerk read the history and title of the bill?
House Bill 213, introduced by Keene, a bill for an act entitled an act clarifying the start of apprenticeship wage rates, amending section and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk read the sections.
Section 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 213. What is your pleasure, Senator Gauthier?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 213, I recommend it be concurred in.
Senator Gauthier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is just a cleanup bill, pretty much changing the clarification of a start of apprenticeship wage. On line 4, we're just striking out wages and put in wage. And then if you go down to page, or basically line 17, we striked out apprenticeship wages start and inserted an apprenticeship rate of wages starts at the date of registration with the sponsor. That's all this bill does. Very simple, very easy. Stand by for questions.
Other amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Gauthier, would you care to close? All right. Question now arises in the motion of Senator Gauthier that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 213, recommends the same be concurred in. Senators in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 213 has been concurred on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 282. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 282, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled an act revising laws relating to the employment of minors, allowing student employees 16 years of age or older to perform work functions under certain circumstances, revising exemptions in agriculture to allow a student learner to perform regular work functions, and amending sections.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 4.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 282. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellsworth?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 282, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, one of the greatest bills I've heard this session in committee. It's an act revising the laws relating to the employment of minors, allowing student employees 16 years of age or older to perform work functions under certain circumstances. If you turn to page 2, it simply lines it out. And on line 12, it says, is 16 years of age or older, and the student employee under the direct and close supervision of a qualified and experienced person with experience in the occupation in which the minor is employed as provided in the subsection. And that's pretty much covered, Mr. Chair. That I'll ask for a green light.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Boland.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the Senate, I was a no vote on House Bill 282, and I think it's really a great idea that students are being able to be trained while they are attending school. Some know that what they are interested in, and some of them don't. This gives them a chance to see what opportunities are out there, and do they want to pursue that type of work throughout their life. This will give them a chance to see if that's the career path that they want to take and maybe make a little bit of cash at the same time. If you look at page 2, section 2, 41-2-107 on line 21, it lists the prohibited employments of minors who are 16 years or 17 years old. They may not, and it says, they may not be employed in or in connection with any of the 17 listed occupations that's right there on the page and also on the next page. There's logging, manufacturing, explosives, power-driven wood tools, coal mining, demolition, circle saws. They put those in there for a reason. It's because every one of those jobs are dangerous. What scares me is on the page, on the same page on line 22-23, if you'll look there, there is an exemption for the apprentice, student learner, or the student employee if they are under the provision of 41-2-10, which is on page 4. Section 4, line 16 and 17. That's great. On line 15, the student employee is under the direct, as you heard, and close supervision of the qualified or experienced person with experience in the occupation in which the minor is employed, and safety instructions as given by the employer to the student employee. That's super. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better than that. However, a student employee that qualifies under Section 1C, and if you look at it, it says they may perform any work function as required by the occupation. There's a good reason that they laid out in Section 2 all of the 17 do not do occupations because they're dangerous. And this is saying that they can now do these occupation functions. If this training was being done in an environment where there's a close contact, like in an office, training centers, career technology classrooms, it would be a different problem altogether. But these are young people, and if you're putting them out in the field or in construction sites when it's in full swing, that is not safe. The last thing I'll point out is even in the construction trades, there is a ratio of apprentice to the journeyman. And there is nowhere in this bill that says how many students would be under the supervision of a qualified, experienced person. And for those reasons, I was a no vote, and I'll be a no vote again today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did hear this in committee, and as Senator Ellsworth pointed out, we did have a good hearing on the bill. I just want to point out something that I don't think was mentioned. If you look on page 5, safety is something that's considered. If you look there, the student employee must be under the direct and close supervision of the experienced employee, and then safety instruction must be given. I really think the important part of this bill, though, is it gets young people a chance to get out and get some work experience. I think that's beneficial to everybody. I know my first job, I got to actually have a chance to work at an underground mine, and that was a tremendous experience and something that I still rely on today. So I think this is a good bill. I think it's good for our kids, and as Senator Ellsworth said, we did have a good hearing on it, so thank you.
Senator Esp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, when I was a kid, a long time ago, we didn't have student learners. We had jobs before school and jobs after school. In looking at this list, I performed 7 of those dangerous occupations before I turned 18, and yet I have all my fingers, all my toes, everything. I think this will be fine.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I hate to repeat testimony, but along with the good senator from Big Timber, I performed a lot of these this list that you're not supposed to do before I was probably 13 or 15. And the same. I mean, I may not still have my sanity, but I got all my fingers. And I'll tell you what, when I was into the workforce, I was able to go to work. I knew what time to show up. I knew what quitting time was. I knew how to take the boss's orders. And that's what's important, is to build responsibility amongst these young people. Responsibility to their employer and responsibility to their own safety. That safety is not the company's sole responsibility. You own your safety. So I think this is a good bill. It goes a long way to helping these young people grow into the workforce and accept that responsibility. Thank you.
Senator Ellsworth, would you care to close? Question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration House Bill 282 recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion signify by voting aye. Those opposed vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 35 senators vote aye and 15 senators vote nay.
35 senators having voted aye and 15 having voted no, House Bill 282 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 283. Clerk, will read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 283, introduced by Anderson, a bill for an act entitled an act requiring workers' compensation insurance coverage for volunteers enrolled in an elementary or secondary educational institution, allowing the business partner and the educational institution to mutually determine and agree in writing whether the business partner or the educational institution elects coverage for the volunteer, and amending section.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 283. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellsworth?
Mr. Chairman, I move that within this committee is rise and report, having under consideration House Bill 283, that it recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chairman, again, great bill in committee. Was happy to carry it. Thanks, Senator Vance, for letting me be the sponsor to carry this. So this bill deals with expanding work-based learning for Montana students. And it's a stumbling block that we have in the work-based students. And what this does is it allows workers' comp to basically happen. If you go into Section 7A, it requires that a student who is participating in work-based learning and is paid by either the school or business must be considered as an employee of the entity that is paying the wages. Section 7B states that a student that is not paid wages is considered to be a volunteer for which work comp coverage is required. Who pays for this coverage is mutually determined by the school and the business partner. As we have these students out there, of course, we need to protect them. Mr. Chair, ask for due pass.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Ellsworth, would you care to close? The question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does rise in port, after having under consideration House Bill 283, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 47 senators vote aye and 3 senators vote nay.
47 senators having voted aye and 3 having voted no. House Bill 283 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 254. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 254, introduced by Fitzgerald. A bill for an act entitled an act revising the Wrongful Discharge Act, revising provisions relating to elements of wrongful discharge and the employment relationship, providing for probationary periods, providing definitions, amending sections, repealing sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 10.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 254. What is your pleasure, Senator Fitzpatrick?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise report after having had it in consideration, House Bill 254, it recommends the same be concurred in.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 254 is an update to the Montana Wrongful Discharge Act. I think of all the bills we're going to consider this session, this is probably one of the more important ones for the business community. It really does modernize and update the Wrongful Discharge Act because we've had many years, and I think unfortunately the law has gotten twisted in some ways that necessarily isn't the best for employees and nor employers. So I think before I go into the bill, I just want to give a little background here. Most states in this country have what's called at-will employment, where you are free to leave anytime and the employer is free to discharge you at time. Montana is one of the rare exceptions. We have what's called cause termination. You basically, after a certain amount of time, there has to be a justification before you're terminated from your job. And the way that's basically been codified into law over time is with the Wrongful Discharge Act. So there are some updates here, and I think they're important updates as I walk through the bill. I think the first key update is under the Wrongful Discharge Act, you get a six-month probationary period, and that in that six-month probationary period, you can be discharged. So if it's not a good fit for you after 6 months, the employer can let you go. What this bill does is it extends that out to 12 months, and there's a good reason for it, because I think in many circumstances, 6 months is just not enough time to find out whether the person that you've hired is a good fit and whether they can do the job that you've asked them to do. If you turn to the next page, we've got some clarifications in section 2. It defines what good cause means, so you can see that's going to include the failure to perform job duties, the failure or disruption of the business operations, and then I think this is a key one, the employee's material and repeated violation of an express provision of the employment policies of the employer. So important language there. When you get over to the next page, on page 3, this is another clarification. So this is one of the justifications that an employer can have. Prior to the discharge of an employee, the employee needed to be given, obviously, fair and reasonable opportunity with the employee. So, or, I'm sorry, if you look and see, this is a justification. The employer materially violated the express provisions of its own policy. So an important update there. If you keep going now, we have some remedies, clarification on what the remedies are. And then if you go to limitations of action, this is a key part of the Wrongful Discharge Act. You must, an employer must follow the procedures in order to bring your claim. The employee's got to go through a certain set of procedures. So we've added some additional time there. Now it's 14 days, and then it allows the process for discharge to be sent to the employer either in writing or electronically. And then obviously then you have the time frame about when that accrues. And then on page 5, you have time for service. This just ensures that we get these complaints in a more expeditious time frame. Under the current law right now, it's 3 years, so now we're going to six months, which should move it along. And then finally, we have a couple of repealers, and these are some old code sections, very old, that deal with hiring and firing of employees in railroads and in mining, and they just aren't necessary anymore. Most railway employees are covered by a collective bargaining agreement, and there's a process for doing that. And obviously the mining companies, they have their own process. So the way it works here is that when we take out, and I just want to point out, these are unique to this industry, the mining and the railroad stuff. Nobody else has to do it. So by repealing this, we're going to treat every employee in the state of Montana the same. I really think at the end of the day, this is an important jobs bill. We need to improve how wrongful discharge is handled in the state. It's getting very expensive for business, and unfortunately, sometimes it's, you know, you have an employee that's just not a good fit and it's not working out, and we need to clarify how this process works. So I'd ask for your support. Very important bill. Thank you.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion? Senator Pope.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and members, I'd like to explain why on business and labor I was a no on this bill. I think the bill tries to address some important issues, but I think it fails in its execution. This is a bill that, in spite of the short title, Revising the Wrongful Discharge Act, actually creates an unlevel playing field for Montana's workers. It's not an employer's an employee's bill. This is an employer's bill, which is fine, but it creates an unleveled playing field and removes other worker protections having nothing to do with wrongful discharge whatsoever. The bill doubles the probationary period for new workers from 6 months to 12 months with a possible extension to 18 months. And you should note that during a probationary period of employment by statute, which this bill does not address, employment may be terminated at will for any reason or for no reason. So as a former employer, I can tell you that within a few weeks, I knew whether there was a good fit with my employees. And by 6 months, I was starting to incentivize my employees after probation with raises and new job offerings and whatnot. A policy that would leave workers at risk to lose their jobs for any reason or for no reason after 18 months is simply just bad business and only invites unfair practices in Montana workplaces. The bill's second objective, Mr. Chair, completely unrelated to wrongful discharge and probation, is buried on the last page of the bill, where a 100-year-old statute, 39-2-703, which forced entry had protected our railway workers from injury or death due to fellow worker or managerial negligence, is summarily just repealed. In hearing, members, we were told by a career railroad engineer, 20 or 25 years on the job, and a host of unions that eliminating 39-2-703 would put Montana railroad workers at direct risk. The very dangerous set of jobs that our railway workers wake up every morning and go to work. And Title 39-2703 would be repealed by our vote today, providing those important protections to our good workers on our railway systems who might be injured or even die while on the job. And they do not have workman's comp. They are not treated as other employees are. So they have a 100-year framework for working on the railroads, and it's not the same as any typical employee. So in summary, this bill weakens simple and basic and important protections for workers with no discernible upside for improving the Montana workplace. So members, I ask you to resist House Bill 254. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, a senator, or a question for Senator Pope.
Senator Pope, you yield?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair, Senator Pope, I'm just trying to understand, because it seems like you did a lot of research on this. 100 years ago, we were probably losing a lot of people, probably putting spikes in railways and stuff like that. Do you know what technology has changed in putting down railways in the past 100 years, Mr. Pope, Senator Pope?
Mr. Chair, Senator, it was a very significant part of our hearing just a few days ago about all the changes, the modernizations that have happened. But the point was also made that our crane units, which are now a mile longer, soon to be 13,000 feet long, the point was made explicitly that trains are going to be extended to 2.5 times what they currently are, and that they're trying to get down to a single crew for those trains. So it's not a simple answer. It's a dynamic situation. These workers work their tails off, as we know. They do get hurt, and when they get hurt, there's opportunity for significant injury. And the unions were four square about this, that this was not just a simple repeal, that this was going to create significant problems in our railroad industry. Senator, I hope I've answered your question. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Pope.
Senator Sweeney.
Mr. Chair, if I can speak to the bill. I voted against this in business and labor also for the reasons the good senator from Bozeman just explained very well. To me, it was very confusing. The railroad portion of this seemed like it kind of came in at the rear end of this bill and kind of muddied it up. I also felt that 18 months was a little bit long for an evaluation period. It seems like a year would have been better, and for those reasons, I'll be voting no.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor.
Senator Fitzpatrick, do you yield?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, Senator, this bill don't make it mandatory that you have this length of probationary period. You could, as a company, you could have a six-month probationary period. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Ankeny, that's correct. You can have a probationary period of whatever you want. This is basically the default mechanism. So, you know, a lot of people don't, they just hire somebody and they don't go through the process of having a formal contract. In that scenario, you would have the 1 year, you would have the 1 year probationary period.
Mr. Chairman, so Senator, speak to the Senator from Bozeman's concerns about being too long. If he wanted a 30-day probationary period, that'd be fine, right?
Mr. Chair, Senator Anthony, yeah, you can shorten it up if you want.
And follow up here, Mr. Chair.
Senator, you continue to yield?
Yes.
Senator, as far as the concerns on the railroad and that, anything covered under a bargaining unit is excluded from this, right?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ankeny, that's correct. If you have a collective bargaining agreement like most railroad workers do, you would follow the procedures in your collective bargaining agreement. And I just want to point out one more distinction here because it wasn't made. If there's a workplace injury for a railroad worker, they get to sue the railroad under what's called the Federal Employers Liability Act. They're called FELA claims. And this does not affect that at all. This, what the statute that's being repealed is basically a tool for railroad workers to go second guess the business decisions made by the boss. So we're not affecting those FELA claims at all. And I can tell you from my personal experience, the state of Montana in the old days, we used to get lots of these. We would bring in these FELA claims from Nebraska and South Dakota, where people would bring lawsuits in for cumulative injury from walking on ballast and that kind of stuff. So this has nothing to do with that. This is strictly employment decisions.
Thank you.
Senator Kohnauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I wanted to express a pretty huge problem with this bill. We talked about the fact that some of that stuff might be included in a contractual agreement, on a collective bargaining agreement. Problem with that is, if it was already in some statutory protections, you wouldn't need to include it in your CBA. And so therefore, it would be very difficult to now backtrack and try to negotiate that in. And right now, we would be taking away protections that are already statutory and that didn't need to be included in a CBA, and then trying to have folks try to backtrack and put those protections in. So I think that it's very concerning that we would put our workers in this position and support such a bill. It doesn't look like it adds anything on the worker protection side of things, and I hope for a no vote.
Senator Fitzpatrick, would you care to close?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I do want to respond to the last comment because I hope you'll draw your attention to exemptions, which was mentioned, which we've had to discuss. If you look in Section 6, 2B, we are not touching at all the language that says an employer, an employee can have a written agreement for employment and they can agree to their own terms, and we're also not affecting the collective bargaining agreement sections. I mean, really, at the end of the day, all this bill really does is it extends out the probationary period, which makes us more normal like every other state in the country, and then we're also clarifying the process for service of process, and making sure that if you violate the terms of an employment or of the employee handbook, that you can be terminated. And think about that for a second. You have an employee handbook, and it'll have things like safety procedures, process for making sure you don't engage in discrimination, things like that. And what I'm hearing is that we shouldn't have a bill that says you can get fired if you engage in unsafe practices in the workplace, or if you engage in behavior that's discriminatory. I mean, that's wrong. This is a good bill for a Montana business. I hope you'll support the bill.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Fitzpatrick that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 254, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no.
He turned into a courtroom brawler for just a second.
Senator Blaisdell. Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 28 senators vote aye and 22 senators vote nay.
28 senators having voted aye and 22 having voted no, House Bill 254 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 373. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
House House Bill 373, introduced by Hamlin, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the National Resources Operation State Special Revenue Account, providing for a general fund transfer, amending section, and providing an effective date and a termination date.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 3.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 373. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report after having under consideration Senate Bill, House Bill 373, that I recommend the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Thank you. I bring with you House Bill 373. It's a, if you look on the bill there in Section 2 of Section 1, Number 2, this money comes from natural resources of metal mines, oil and gas production, and fees charged by DEQ. It's a special revenue fund. We're just transferring it, giving them authority in the general fund to spend that money, Mr. Chairman.
Are there amends?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion? Senator Lang, would you care to close? Question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 373, recommends the same be concurred in. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Senator Sands? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no, House Bill 373 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 374. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 374, introduced by Hamlin, a bill for an act entitled an act revising the basic library services account and the conservation district account laws, providing for general fund transfers, amending sections, and providing effective dates and a termination date.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 374. What is your pleasure, Senator Wellborn?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee does rise and report, having after consideration House Bill number 374, that the same be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Wellborn.
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, this is a bill that came through Finance and Claims. What this is basically doing is would allow money to go from move from the general fund to backfill the budgets at with conservation districts and the state library. The reason the state library is important is that is where all of the cadastral and GIS mapping is housed in Montana. Now, I want to point out that the only way that this money would move from the general fund is in the event of the coal severance money not being there, but it's the belief of a lot of us on the committee that there might be a shortfall in that funding. So with that being said, we're just trying to make sure there's a vehicle available should the need arise to fund a couple of very important programs in Montana, Mr. Chairman.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion? Senator Wellborn, would you care to close? The question now arises on the motion of Senator Wellborn that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 374, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 48 senators vote aye and 2 senators vote nay.
48 senators having voted aye and 2 having voted no. House Bill 374 has been concurred in on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration Senate Bill 370. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
Senate Bill 370, introduced by Ellsworth, a bill for an act entitled an act generally revising disaster and emergency powers laws, protecting certain constitutional rights during an emergency, revising the declaration of policy, clarifying the limitations on authority during an emergency, providing for civil relief, amending sections, and providing an immediate effective date.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 5.
Members of the committee, you now have before you Senate Bill 370. What is your pleasure, Senator Ellsworth?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee does rise and report, I am having under consideration Senate Bill 370, that it recommend the same do pass, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ellsworth.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the title says it all. It's just protecting our constitutional rights during an emergency. You can flip to page 2, and really what it's dealing with is our rights of speech, rights of assembly, our Second Amendment rights. You can also flip to page 3, read the same rights of speech assembly, and then flip to page 4, which goes into our Second Amendment rights. So I will yield to any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Sands.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise to speak to the bill. You know, my concern about this bill is it talks about protecting certain constitutional rights and provides for some specific civil relief in those cases. We're amending a section of code that really has to do with existing policy relative to cases of state disaster or emergency. And there are very broad provisions. On the first page, you'll see in line 16 what this whole section of code does. It ensures that preparation of the state will be adequate to deal with disasters or emergencies, to generally provide for the common defense and protect public peace, health, safety, and to preserve the lives and property of people of the state to the fullest extent practicable. This section of code does not at this point address issues of constitutional rights, but what this bill does is that it adds, if you'll see on section 2, down in line 17 through 21, two specific provisions of protections of only a very limited number of constitutional rights. And I'm going to claim that this, in fact, these are constitutional rights which are protected. Others are, by default, excluded about what is protected. Section 11 and 12 reference the U.S. Constitution only relative to the First and the Second Amendments. The Montana Constitution is referenced only with three sections of our Montana Bill of Rights. The sixth, which is our freedom of assembly, seventh, which is our freedom of speech, and 12th, the right to bear arms. And then it creates in section 3 of the bill a cause of action for some rights, but again, not for other rights. So what about constitutional protection for other specific rights that are not included in this? Here's just a few in the Montana Bill of Rights. Section 4, individual dignity. What about our right to privacy protected in the Montana Constitution in Section 10? Or particularly when you're in the case of an emergency or disaster, these two provisions of the Montana Constitution. Section 11, a protection from the government's search and seizure provisions. Or 9, our right to know, especially in an emergency or disaster, about what's going on with the government. Those aren't mentioned in here as protected at all. Are we not concerned about those? And violations of those rights are not protected under or given any chance for a cause of action here. So yet, I would say that we are really in section 4, on the last page, if you want to look at that, we've laid out an entire page of delineating every detail of the right to bear arms, which are not laid out for other things. On page 3, however, I am glad to see that this bill does at least mention protections for elections and political campaigning, which are not expressly mentioned in our Bill of Rights. But what about these other rights that are expressly laid out in our Montana Constitution? And we debate so much in this session all of the time, whether it's rights to privacy or the role of government. Those are not laid out and this bill is protected. So this bill does not uniformly protect all of our constitutional rights in any way in terms of emergencies or disasters. We have other bills that deal with the right to bear arms. This bill is really cherry-picking our rights, and it's wrong for Montana, and I'd ask you to reject this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Gross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate. As Senator Sands just described, we asked in committee why other constitutional rights were not included, and the sponsor did not have a really comprehensive answer other than he thought these ones were important. We also asked how this bill is different from the number of other bills we have this session dealing with Title X. The sponsor could not answer that question, but I can tell you that the other bills that we've heard revising Title X do not cover the constitutional rights laid out by Senator Sands. So And then specifically in the bill, page 3, line 23, prohibits the courts from taking safety precautions, and I believe that's a separation of powers issue. And then finally, if you'll just look at the fiscal note, you know, that the description of impact, I think, really says a lot. This bill revises disaster and emergency power laws so that in the aftermath of a disaster, this bill could limit the state government's ability to manage hostilities and conflicts. So with that, I would ask for a no vote.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for getting up again. Senator Ellsworth and I worked on drafting this bill together, and let me go through a couple of the points here I think are worth noting. I think when we put this together, our concern was making sure that the citizens had the ability to change their government in the event of a disaster, an emergency, and the most important way to do that is obviously through political speech and protecting your right of free speech, free assembly, which we did. Making sure that you could distribute your message through media, and then making sure that you could go and find relief either through courts or through the legislative branch. So that's the idea here, and then obviously protecting the Second Amendment works in there. For the other rights, I think the key part you want to look at is that we are prohibiting the executive branch from shutting down the judicial branch. And we saw that already. We saw that the governor in the last... during the pandemic basically told the courts that they don't get to use their processes anymore for landlord-tenant disputes. And to me, to shut down the courts, to impose all kinds of other regulations and restrictions, constitutional rights, I thought it was wrong. And you know, we had Senator Howard's bill on religion. That was a great bill. And now we have this one to make sure that you can go run your campaign, you can campaign, and you can change your government, and that when these emergencies don't come down, that they're a vehicle to suppress your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I mean, that's what this bill is ultimately about. This is a great bill, and I applaud Senator Ellsworth for bringing it forward. And the one more thing I want to point out is that there's going to be no suspending of elections after this. That's in Section 6. Government's going to go on. You're going to be able to vote out the people that do what they do, and we can get new government if we need it, and new leaders if we don't like how they're running the state. So this is a great bill. I'd hope you support it.
Senator Ellsworth, would you care to close?
Mr. Chairman, members of the body, so the reason why, and I will thank the fine senator from Great Falls for bringing this up, and the reason why we didn't put every constitutional right in there is we've seen a lot of bills this session, and we have that deal with a lot of those other constitutional rights. What we have not seen is any bill that deals with these issues. So we wanted to be targeted, we wanted to be specific, and that's what this bill addresses, so I ask for you to vote green.
A question now arises on the motion of Senator Ellsworth that when this committee does resident report, after having under consideration Senate Bill 370, recommend the same do pass. As many are in favor as the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 31 senators vote aye and 19 senators vote nay.
31 senators having voted aye and 19 having voted no. Senate Bill 370 has passed second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Joint Resolution 7. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
H.J.R. 7, introduced by Knutson, a joint resolution of the Senate and the House of Representatives of the State of Montana urging Congress, the Department of Interior, and the Bureau of Reclamation to repair the funding allocation and authorize funding for the replacement and rehabilitation of the St. Mary River Diversion and the Milk River Project.
Clerk, read the sections.
Section 1.
Members of the committee, you now have before you H.J. 7. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Mr. Chairman, I move that this committee does rise and report after having under consideration H.J. 7 that I recommend be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
Very proud to bring you this House resolution, Joint Resolution 7. This is about the Milk River Project. If you look at the resolution here, 1903 is when this project was started. Someone had a dream to bring water out to the eastern Montana. We have Just to explain the project a little bit, Glacier National Park has a lake called Sherburne in it. And we enter the Blackfoot Tribe Reservation, and the water flows there, and it goes down the river, the St. Mary River, and it is diverted into what we call a canal system. And that canal system has a series of drops, 1 through 5. And if you'll remember, back on May 17th of last summer, drop 5 went out. Drop 2 was the drop they thought was going to go out, but 5 went out, and that made drop 2 also dysfunctional. But the neat thing about that was, there's been plans by the irrigators to get this stuff project going. They had the drawings there. In 22 weeks, they were able to have water running in that project again. But big thing, why that water is so important, 6 out of every 10 years, the Milk River will go dry. Now, people don't know that today because the water comes out of Sherburne, comes into St. Mary, and is diverted into the Milk River. But if that did not happen, 6 out of 10 years, the Milk River would run dry. That is a river that has great wildlife potential, great fisheries, and a lot of irrigation. Plus, we have municipalities that use that, of 19,000 people get their water from there. What this resolution is, and I'm very glad, and I hope Montana will support it further, we want to send it on to congressionals. But the big thing is there's 6 irrigation projects in the United States that were set up this way back in early 1900s. This one is one of them, where the irrigators or the people that use the water pay for 75% of the maintenance and the cost of the system. The federal government pays 25%. Most of the other irrigation projects that came online after that, and you know many of them, the Palouse and the Yakima Valley, a lot of that stuff is irrigated to that land. Those have a different cost share. So this is pretty burdensome on the people that get their water from the Milk River, where 75% of the cost is on those people. They've been doing this since the 1900s. In fact, one of the problems that we had when the drops failed and we went to money, they had $3.2 million in their account to work on this kind of stuff, so they could not get emergency funds from the federal government to work with that. But we would appreciate your support on this, and we were trying to change the cost share from some number, preferably 25% to the cost to the growers and 75% to the government. And this has been going on in the state of Montana for 17 to 20 years, and we hope congressional will listen to this resolution, and we will see them move forward with bills and change the funding. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Langwood, you got to close.
Let's keep the water running, and thank you, Montana. I want to thank this legislature and past legislature for helping us out, and hopefully we can get some more help and get this funded right. Thank you.
The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration HJ7, it recommends the same be adopted. As many are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no, HJ7 has been adopted on second reading. Members, you now have before you for your consideration House Bill 294. Clerk, read the history and title of the bill.
House Bill 294, introduced by Fitzgerald, a bill for an act entitled an act revising fees for agricultural seed licenses, revising fee structure for seed dealers, feed conditioners, and seed labelers, providing rulemaking authority, amending section, and providing an effective date.
Clerk, read the sections.
Sections 1 through 2.
Members of the committee, you now have before you House Bill 294. What is your pleasure, Senator Lang?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move this when this committee does rise and report, and having under consideration House Bill 294 that I recommend do be concurred in, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lang.
I bring you today House Bill 294. I apologize to the seed growers. This bill would have been brought last year under my purview, but my plate got so full, I asked another legislator to carry it. We didn't get it done, but we've been on top of this for the last 3 years. Agriculture, most of you know, depends on water. But the other part of it is seeds. And this is a group of seed growers and conditioners and that think they want, or they know they need to protect the farmer and the environment more, so they would like to have more inspection and that kind of stuff. So they're asking for a fee increase which can be made into rule by the Department of Agriculture. And please do support this bill.
Are there amendments?
None, Mr. Chairman.
Discussion on the motion. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chair, the sponsor yield for a question.
Senator Lang, do you yield?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chairman. Senator Hertz.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, does this bill only apply to individuals who are growing seeds? Would it apply to someone who is collecting native seeds and selling those?
If they are licensed, if they have to be licensed by the state of Montana to sell seed, yes, that would, it would include them.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Lang, would you care to close? The question now arises on the motion of Senator Lang that when this committee does rise and report, after having under consideration House Bill 294, it recommends the same be concurred in. As many as are in favor of the motion, signify by voting aye. Those opposed, vote no. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk will record the vote.
Mr. Chairman, 50 senators vote aye and 0 senators vote nay.
50 senators having voted aye and 0 having voted no. House Bill 294 has been concurred on second reading. Senator Smith.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee rise and report.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it.
The Senate will be in order. The Secretary will read the report.
Mr. President, will your committee of the whole, having had under consideration business on second reading, respectfully report as follows. Senate Bill 76 and 370 do pass. Senate Resolutions 29 and 83 adopted. Senate Bill 252 passed for the day. House Bills 213, 254, 282, 283, 294, 373, 374, and House Joint Resolution 7 be concurred in.
Senator Bogner.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the committee report.
I've heard the motion of Senator Bogner that the committee of the whole report be adopted. As many are in favor, by signify by voting aye. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? And if not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 43 have voted yes, 7 have voted no.
43 senators haven't voted aye, and 7 senators haven't voted no. The committee report has been adopted. Thank you, Senator Bogner. Order business number 8, third reading of bills.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 308, introduced by Wellborn, a bill for an act entitled to revise the Montana Building and Loan Associations Act.
Senate Bill 308, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 voted yes, 0 have voted no.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. Senate Bill 308 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, Senate Joint Resolution 13, introduced by Heinbaugh, a bill for an act entitled Interim Study of Prevailing Wage Laws.
Senate Joint Resolution 13, have been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor will vote yes. Those opposed, no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 senators haven't voted aye, and 5 senators haven't voted no. Senate Joint Resolution 13 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 22, introduced by Garner, a bill for an act entitled Allow In-Kind Services for Easement on State Land Used for Military Facilities.
House Bill 22, have been read three several times. Question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
With 50 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no, House Bill 22 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 29, introduced by Tribus, a bill for an act entitled Adopt Most Recent Federal Military Codes and Regulations.
House Bill 29, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 47 have voted yes, 3 have voted no.
47 senators haven't voted aye, and 3 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 29 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 32, introduced by Binton, a bill for an act entitled Repeal Ending Fund Balance Limits for School District Funds.
House Bill 32, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? If not, the Secretary will record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 32 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 33, introduced by Binton, a bill for an act entitled Clarify School Funding Related to Anticipated Enrollment Increases.
House Bill 33, having been read three several times, question is, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? And if not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 33 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 40, introduced by Curdy, a bill for an act entitled revising laws on mandatory decontamination of vessels with ballast and bladders.
House Bill 40, have been read three several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote. Senator Ellsworth, Senator McNally.
Mr. President, 39 have voted yes, 11 have voted no.
39 senators haven't voted aye, and 11 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 40 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 76, introduced by Fraser, a bill for an act entitled Revised Montana VEBA Provisions.
House Bill 76, have been read three several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 76 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 83, introduced by Dueling, a bill for an act entitled General Revised Vehicle Laws.
House Bill 83, have been read through several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary, record the vote.
Mr. President, 49 have voted yes. 1 has voted no.
49 senators haven't voted aye, and 1 senator haven't voted no. House Bill 83 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 100, introduced by Heyman, a bill for an act entitled Revised Community College Audit Requirements.
House Bill 100, haven't been read three several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote. Senator Heinbaugh.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 100 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 141 is by Keogh, a bill for an act entitled General Revising Vehicle and Vessel Title Transfer Laws.
House Bill 141, haven't been read three several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 50 members have voted yes.
50 senators haven't voted aye, and 0 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 141 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 200 is by Homeland, a bill for an act entitled Established Laws Prohibiting Sanctuary Cities in Montana.
House Bill 200, haven't been read three several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes. Those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 30 have voted yes, 20 have voted no.
30 senators haven't voted aye, and 20 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 200 has passed the Senate.
Mr. President, House Bill 290 is by Cheetah, a bill for an act entitled Provided for a Self-Storage Insurance Act.
House Bill 290, haven't been read three several times. Questioners, shall the bill pass the Senate? Those in favor vote yes, those opposed no. Has every member voted? Does any member wish to change his or vote? If not, the Secretary record the vote.
Mr. President, 45 have voted yes, 5 have voted no.
45 senators haven't voted aye, and 5 senators haven't voted no. House Bill 290 has passed the Senate.
That is all, Mr. President.
Okay. Without objection, we'll go to business number 12, announcements of committee meetings. Senator Gear.
Mr. President, Senate Judiciary will meet tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock, four bills.
Senator Hoven.
Mr. President, Senate tax will not meet tomorrow. Will not meet tomorrow.
Senator Gothier.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate local government tomorrow, 3 o'clock, two bills and executive action.
Senator Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Business and labor tomorrow, 9 o'clock, room 422.
Senator Vance.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Highways and Transportation this afternoon, 3 p.m. in room 405.
Senator Heinbaugh.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Fish and Game will meet at 3 o'clock, 422, one bill.
Senator Ankeny.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Energy Telecommunications, 3 o'clock, 317 today.
Senator Osmundson.
Mr. President, Senate Finance and Claim is going to meet here in about 15 minutes, so let's shoot for 2:30, room 303, Senate Finance and Claims.
Senator Lang.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Agriculture will meet today at 3 o'clock, a couple bills, and tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, Section A and F of the subcommittees will meet also.
Senator Kerry.
Mr. President, thank you. May I be off and out for an announcement?
Senator Kerry.
Blood pressure checks tomorrow, anteroom 12 to 1.
Thank you, Senator Kerry. Seeing no further announcements, Majority Leader Smith.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand adjourned until the hour of 1 p.m., March 17th, the 53rd legislative day.
You've heard the motion of Senator Smith. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate will reconvene at 1 p.m. on March 17th. Senate's adjourned.
Kiddos.
Thank you.